I want to start off with a short story about something that happened recently in the Middle East. And it started a few years ago. There was this group of Christians, and they still exist now. And what they do is, what their main mission is to evangelize, to preach the gospel to people throughout the whole Middle East. And they have a very tough mission, because what they do is they find those who it's going to be hardest to preach the gospel to, and they try to get the gospel message to them, like the terrorists and the extremists in the Middle East. So there's a story that I read that's getting out slowly now, but the names of those involved are not being revealed for their own safety. There was this man of the group, the Christian group that evangelizes in the Middle East. He received a call one day, a very weird call. It was from a guy in Iraq that really wanted to meet him. And he said that usually he doesn't go and just meet people before knowing them and before speaking with them first and seeing what they want. But he said that he felt called by God to just go and meet this guy. So he went and met this guy. And the guy told him eventually that he was what's called a prince of ISIS. That's a technical word for somebody within ISIS. That's a very high rank, and he was like a spiritual teacher for the members of the Islamic State, ISIS. And so this guy was very high up there, and he revealed to the guy that was preaching to him that at the first meeting, he wanted to kill him. But the guy that was preaching to him spoke God's message in such a strong and in such a clear and in such a confident way that the guy did not kill him, that he actually came back for a second meeting. And he came back and met a few times. And one day, he had a dream. And the dream had to do with blood being dripped. And he didn't know what this meant, so he asked the guy that was preaching to him, he said, "What does this mean?" And the guy told him, "I don't know what a lot of dreams mean and how to interpret them, but I can tell you what blood means to us Christians. And what it means to us Christians is that it shows us the love that Jesus Christ has for us, that he shed his blood to forgive our sins." And so this guy, through his experiences and through his learning about Christianity, he became a Christian. And he said the main phrase that he used when he described his conversion was that he said, "I've never seen or experienced a love like this, a love that I experienced in Christianity." When we talk about our faith, it's not just ideas to memorize or things to learn, like learning the Ten Commandments or learning the Seven Sacraments or going to catechism school and knowing enough about our faith so that we can pass a test about it. The Christian faith is not about that. The Christian faith is not just about knowing things about God or about Jesus or about what he teaches or about good and bad. That's not what the Christian faith is only about. What the Christian faith is mainly about is knowing Jesus himself, is having a real relationship, a real encounter with him. And that's what this man encountered. And that's what Jesus' mission for us is. That's why he came to earth, to let us experience his love. That's why when we hear in this gospel, this is right before Jesus died. This is at the climax of his whole ministry. And these are some of the only words that we hear Jesus so intimately speaking with his Father that John reveals to us. And John reveals to us that he had such a strong love, Jesus did, had such a strong love for us that he wants us to be one with him like he is with his Father. He wants us to share in that intimacy, in that union that he has with his Father. He said, "This is eternal life, that they..." Meaning all of us, that they know you, the one true God. And Jesus Christ whom you have sent. That's what eternal life is for us. When we think about eternal life, we normally think about getting to heaven, about life after this world, eternal life. But Jesus in this gospel says it starts now. It's not just when we get to heaven. That life that we live in heaven and the life that we can live on this earth involves us knowing God. That's what it involves. Not knowing about God. Sure, it's important to learn about God. It is very important to know the Bible and to know what the faith actually teaches. Because the more we learn about the faith, it's more of a reason to love God. Just like the more we learn about our loved ones, or if two people want to get married to each other, the more that they learn about each other, the more that they will grow in love for each other. But you don't learn about a person just to know about them, just for that point. You learn about a person so that you can share a relationship with them. The closest friendships are the ones that go deep with each other, not just the ones that are superficial, not just the ones where you talk about sports or about shopping or about music. Those aren't the deepest friendships, not the ones where you just have fun together. The real friendships are the ones where you can get deep with a person, where you can open your heart to a person. We can't have a real relationship with God unless we can first understand how to have a real and good and true relationship with another human being. And not just any human being. St. John also tells us later on, he says, how can I say that I love God when I don't love my neighbor, who I see? I see people in this world. And how can I say that I love God when I don't love every single human being on this world who I see? He says, if I say that, that means I'm a liar. Because you can't love God who you don't see while you hate the people that you do see. That's the message of the gospel for us, is that if we're going to share in that deep intimacy with God and that deep relationship with Him, it starts here. It starts in our relationships here in this world. And the relationships, unfortunately, that we deal with are with sinners, are with people who are not perfect. And that's a problem. And if we keep it that way, and if we don't bring God in the middle of all of our relationships, then we're not going to have peace. But God wants us to have peace in the relationships that we have. He wants us to treat others the way that He treats us. And how does He treat us? He humbled Himself. He came down to earth. He died on the cross. Even though we are sinners, even though we continue to sin, He shows us His love. And that's what we are called to do to those around us, especially those in our lives that we don't get along with, especially those whom we've done harm to, and even those who have done harm to us, following the example of Christ and humbling ourselves and in not waiting for the other person to apologize, but to go and apologize ourselves about whatever it is that we've done. That's the way to peace. If you just wait for the other person to make peace, I guarantee you that there's never going to be peace. If you go and make peace, then you're going to show that person and you're going to show God that you have the capacity to love like God does. And that's a grace that is given to us by God. If we open our hearts to Him, and if we accept the grace of unity that He gives to all of us in our lives, and if we try to follow His example every day and do His will and be strengthened by His grace so that we can live the life that He wants us to live on this earth and reach the life that we can have in union with Him in heaven.